You're listening to Shannon Taylor Talk, your global, mobile, social network radiocast. What's your status?
I think there are two reasons for it. Television is number two.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, so we have the couch potato syndrome. And number one is that in the United States, at least, 80% of all the food eaten, all the food, is junk.
Mm-hmm.
45% is fast food, restaurant food. And everything that you eat at a fast food restaurant, in my opinion, is junk.
Right.
And even if it wasn't junk when it went there, they made it into junk by the way they cook it and the fact that they add monosodium glutamate to it. That's the end of the story as far as I'm concerned. 60% of the food in the grocery store is junk.
Yeah. Why is,
if it's got more than one ingredient, it's probably junk.
Why is our culture so different than, say, the other cultures that want to eat healthy food? Is it just because we have so much money to buy processed, like acetates and, false fibers and so forth? I mean, no cotton. We want the fake stuff. We want the plastic. What is that?
Well, of course, it has been. It's actually the same consciousness that has created the economic crisis. And it's been around to a greater or lesser extent for centuries, I suppose. The snake oil salespeople of the 1800s became the food industry of the 1900s. And our food industry sucks.
Right.
From General Mills to General Motors, well, it's the same thing. They're part of the same industrial complex. They have no conscience. And so they use all kinds of advertising ploy to push junk on people.
Especially children.
Oh, yeah. But we've known since 50 years that trans fats are bad for you.
Right.
Yet, they're still around.
We've
known for 60 years that white bleached flour is not enriched. It's just pure dead bread. And we've known for at least 60 years that sugar is not a food.
Absolutely.
And we know that corn syrup and fructose are really not foods when they're taken out of the food itself and put into a bottle. And yet, in order to make money, the food industry, evil to the core. I mean, take Coca-Cola.
Don't hold back.
There's nothing in a Coca-Cola that should be put in any human being's mouth except the water that was used. There's nothing in 99% of all the cereals sold. There's nothing in 99% of all the bread sold that really should be eaten. And it's only because of an evil group of monsters trying to make money. And they're no different from those who have deluded people with low interest mortgages that they couldn't pay in the first place.
Right.
Or derivatives. Nobody even talks to largely about derivatives. You know that it is estimated that there's 1.14 quadrillion dollars of derivatives? That's a quadrillion is a million trillion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, too big for my brain.
And so there's 1.14 quadrillion derivatives, and derivatives are sort of like junk food. They're junk financial paper.
Right.
They have no foundation. The people pay roughly 5% for a piece of paper that has no value whatsoever, and then they go out and sell it to somebody else who pays 5% for a piece of paper that has no value, and on and it goes. And so here we have a 1.14 quadrillion bucks. I mean, that is more than all of the net worth of the entire world.
Mm. Wow.
And so the food industry is the same. They are putting out 80% of food as non-food. it's junk food, like junk bonds and junk financial paper. And it's the same truly evil sociopathic behavior that is responsible for both.
Well, how do we, as just plain citizens that are not exactly understanding of everything that goes on, how do we move toward wholeness and balance and stop that addictive behavior and that blindness?
I mean, I tell you what I did. I recognized this in the mid-60s.
Well, you're advanced.
Well, I realized what was about to happen. And I've been expecting what's happening now since 1966, at least. And whether this is the final blow-off, I don't know. But
Are we coming to an end of this consumer madness and this toxic madness?
Oh, well, it's what I would call the beginning of the end. But it could go on for another 4 years. Hopefully, it won't go on more than that. It may be tied into 2012.
Uh-huh.
But we've got to have an implosion.
Right. A completely restructuring attitude.
Yeah.
Like a tornado of the soul.
We moved to a farm in 1969,
mm-hmm.
and we raised 90% of our vegetables and 70% of our fruits.
Wow.
And we don't raise our organic meats. We buy those from people who do that. But
wow.
I don't support, you know, we buy more soap and toilet paper in grocery stores than we do food.
That's great.
Literally. So we are outside the system. And I don't, you know, it's unfortunate that people who live in large cities may not be able to do this. Well, of course, I've never chosen to live in a large city for any length of time.
Right.
And even when I lived in Cleveland, we used most of our backyard to raise vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are cities in lots of places in Europe where there's no such thing as a front lawn.
Right.
They have fruit trees and vegetables growing in their
front
lawn.
And a cow in the backyard, most of them.
Yes, you bet.
Right.
If not in the house, practically.
Yeah, exactly. Sacred.
The house attached to the barn. So I think that I don't think people were meant to live in concrete. And I don't know what would happen if everybody wanted to live the way we do. But, you know, my garden is only 100 by 100.
Right.
And in a piece of property the size of a city lot, practically,
mm-hmm.
you can raise most of your fruits and vegetables.
Right.
Of course, I think that's what people should be doing, be healthier for them, et cetera, et cetera.
Some places do have community gardens that allow
yes,
for that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it is possible. Do they call that the slow food movement? I've heard that term.
Yeah, there's several, of course, green movements of one kind or another. And Dennis Watley wrote a book back in the, certainly I think early to mid-70s, called How to Make $100,000, now this is in the 70s, How to Make $100,000 a year on a 25-acre plot.
Wow. Now you see, that would get people's attention.
Yeah.
Making, not the green.
Well, it should.
Not the healthy eating, but the, yeah. How can I make money off
of it? Well, what he recommended is people have these 25-acre little farmettes outside cities.
Little farmettes,
where people could come out, and the little farmette would have five different crops,
mm-hmm.
which might include a meat crop of some kind, vegetables and fruits. And, of course, I think that's the way it should be. You know, prior to World War II, 90% of the food consumed in this country was grown within 50 miles of the people eating it.
Yes.
Today, 95% of all the food is grown thousands of miles away from where we eat it.
And maybe in another country, yeah.
Right. But what I think the best article I've ever seen in the New York Times was yesterday morning. It was in the magazine section. And it had to do with the type of farming that we're doing in this country now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these massive farms where they don't raise anything but grains, for instance.
Right.
Instead of having a mixture of animals and grains and other crops, the two go together. It is not ecologically sane to have 5,000 acres with nothing but grains on it. And it's even, of course, more insane to convert food into alcohol for running cars. That's got to be another insanity right. of the current evil solutions that government is trying to put on us. The idea of taking corn and making it into alcohol is insane.
Well, that's been going on for quite some time in the hills. The alcohol is inside the cars instead of in the gas tank. Yeah.
Well, it should be being used as food. Yeah, I'm not opposed to taking sugar cane and making that into alcohol. That's what they've done in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
We could make a huge amount of alcohol from sugar cane. That would be a reasonable thing to do.
Well, it just seems like we're not motivated by health and balance. We're motivated by money. Now, we have to get away from the money syndrome, this the fear and the lack mentality that, oh my goodness, our crisis is that we can't have an extra car. You know, we can't have an extra television. We can't have it, you know, which is so different in Europe. When they say crisis, that's what it means. It's like, oh my goodness, I don't get a new car this year. Or I don't get this, you know, because
yeah.
we have overspent so much. We have inflated our lives so much that even not being able to have cookies is a sadness.
Oh, I totally agree. Well, we're sitting here with our little, I don't know, maybe 15-inch television that we don't use much and having to pay $40 or more to get some kind of converter of a digital for the occasional mm-hmm. thing that we might want to watch, like Antiques Roadshow.
But the healthy lifestyle is just disconnecting from all that and just saying, you know, I'm choosing me, we're choosing the health and the vitality, because I like you're promoting. You know, you can live to 100, 140. What is that? 140? Did you say we can live to 140?
I wrote a book called Life Beyond 100, which says I believe that the average person should live 140 years plus or minus 20 for accidents and genetics. Did you know that the average American life is shortened by 22 years because of the collective bad habits of Americans? If people did not smoke,
right.
were not overweight, ate just good food and exercised moderately, average life expectancy would go from 78 to 100 years of age. Average. Mm-hmm. That means that it would be really 80 to 120 for normal genetics.
Wow, that's amazing.
80 to 120.
Wow.
Now, if you do certain things, and we show some of this in the movie Medical Renaissance, The Secret Code, if you activate certain electrical circuits in the human body with human DNA frequency, which is 54 to 78 billion cycles per second, at a billionth of a watt, if you do that, you can actually restore the body's ability to make DHEA, dehydroepiandrosterone, the most important hormone in the human body, and one that is associated with health and longevity.
Mm-hmm.
You can restore the body's ability to make calcitonin, the hormone that keeps your skeleton strong. And you can help decrease the production of free radicals by 85%. Free radicals are ultimately what age us and wrinkle us and kill us.
Right.
And
resting.
So if you can do those three things,
mm-hmm.
raise the DHEA, raise the calcitonin, and lower free radicals, then I figure you will add another 40 years average to your life expectancy.
I know there's pain. Why do you lock yourself up in these chains? No one can change your life except for you. Don't